Have you seen the Times today? I'd like to draw your attention to a report on page 6. Dr. Anderson. I met him once. He enjoyed 3 gifts. An enchanting fiancée, an abiding interest in Danish ecclesiastical history of the Reformation period, and a consuming curiosity. I fear that Dr. Anderson's curiosity may have exceeded his wisdom.
No, it's a fine room, Herr Lund. It's not the room I have a problem with. It's the fact that the window looks out onto the blank wall of the next-door house. I shall be studying manuscripts here, and it will surely be very dark in the afternoon.
Number 12, Anderson.
Ah, that's far more like it. Perhaps your boy could bring my bags up and light the fire as well.
So, after the sorting out of the rooms, here I am, my dearest Kate, at 7 o'clock in the evening, quite cosily installed in the Golden Lion, as solid a stone inn as you could wish for, in the town of Viborg. No shortage of good hotels, but there was something about this place. You told me to spare you no detail of my trip, and I shan't. I am summoned to dinner, my dear.
Is all to your satisfaction, Herr Anderson?
Very much so.
And you have decided how long you are a guest?
Well, it depends how readily the records office, the Riksarchiv, yields up its secrets. Herr Scrivenius has promised me quite a hoard of material.
I wish you luck, sir.
Kate, something a little odd has caught my attention. I noticed, as I was returning from my meal, a blackboard in the hall. It showed my fellow lodgers the room numbers chalked in at the beginning of each line. There was no number 13 on the list. Is Herr Lund superstitious? He doesn't seem the type. I shall get to the bottom of it. All my love.
Deum omnis splendor spiritualis et invisibilis deri natura omniac eodem intrinsictus illuminatur.
What a dream, Kate. Oh, a great voice booming out Latin, in which I am normally fluent, but of which I understood nothing. I woke with quite a feeling of dread, almost. But, nothing that a good breakfast won't cure.
You're very kind to let me borrow these manuscripts, Herr Scrivenius. I shall see you tomorrow.
Be careful on the ice.
I shall be. No, I'm quite all right.
My dearest Kate, I have spent a rewarding day in the company of Bishop Jürgen Fries. The gossip in the 16th century makes our scandal sheet seem tame. The bishop, his enemies claimed, owned a house here in Viborg, whose tenant was one Magister Nicholas Franken.
Come in. Oh, thank you, Annalisa. Just put the tray down there. Thank you.
A disgrace to the city, Master Franken. They said he was a magician, a troll man, who practiced secret and wicked arts. He had sold his soul to the devil, they said, and it was a double disgrace that the bishop should associate with him. Nicholas Franken. What's the truth, I wonder? Good Lord. I wish you could see this, Kate. A brass band out on the cobbled street with the snow falling and the sun going down. I feel as if I'm living in a Christmas card. Here's an odd thing. During the afternoon, I stretch my legs, As I returned to the hotel, I thought to ask Herr Lund about the absence of room 13. But then I decided I should see for myself whether the number existed. I went upstairs, and I don't know how I missed it before, but there was the door with the number 13, as plain as could be. And inside, footsteps, voices. My curiosity overcame me. I put my ear to the door, and as I did so, the sound stopped. Instead, a new sound, as if someone immediately on the other side of the door were breathing in great excitement. I returned to my room. Now, things get stranger. My room, which is quite long and high-ceilinged, seemed smaller. The walls were closer together. I know that sounds foolish, but that was how it appeared. And when I went to look for something in my travelling case, the case wasn't in its usual place by the wardrobe. Had a servant moved it? Well, I couldn't find it. But I did go and find Annalisa, the maid, and she swore that she hadn't touched it. And when I returned to the room, there was the case, and the room was itself again. I felt rather a fool, Kate. I know you tell me I lose myself in my researches. Maybe you're right. Now, I shall have a cigarette, and I shall think of you, and I'm sure I shall sleep soundly. A busy day tomorrow. Good night, my dear.
Herr Anderson? Are you all right? Herr Anderson?
What? Yes. I must have dozed off.
You've been studying 8 solid hours. Your eyes are red. Oh. You must rest.
Nicholas Franken, the troll man. I've been trying to find out what happened to him. He just disappears from the records. And the house he dwelt in, where was it?
Oh, for that, you search in vain. This whole town of Viborg burnt to the ground in the great fire of 1716.
It's as though the flames of my curiosity are being deliberately fanned, Kate. As I dressed this morning, I walked over to the middle window to see how the weather stood. There was a cigarette end on the sill, but you see, when I smoked that cigarette last night and thought of you, I smoked it at the right-hand window. I remember it perfectly. The light was behind me and cast my shadow on an opposite wall. The shadow of a bearded man in number 11 came and went. Then the occupant of number 13 appeared, or his shadow did. A tall, thin man who leaned on his elbows, like me in fact, looking out onto the street. Then he retreated. A shadow flickered furiously on the wall, then darkness. When I left my room this morning, I looked at number 13. A man's boots were outside. I looked again at the door, but it now read number 14. Number 12, my room, and number 14 beside it. No number 13 at all. The voices, the case, the changed room, the cigarette, the non-existent room. Had I made 5 absurd mistakes in 24 hours? Or been subject to 5 illusions? I will find out.
Herr Lund, a moment.
Of course.
Do all the hotels in this country leave out number 13 in their room list?
If they value their business, they do. Travellers and commerce, that is what we provide for in general. These people would rather sleep in the street than in a room marked 13. Makes no difference to me, mind.
I thought I saw a door numbered 13 beside my own room last night.
You must be mistaken.
I'm rather particular about details.
It's not possible, Herr Anderson.
Well, you know your hotel. Why not join me upstairs for a cigar this evening, when your duties are done?
With pleasure, sir.
So, there things stand, Kate. I await Herr Lund. Meanwhile, I watch the shadow play on the wall. Number 11 is apparently studying some papers, and number 13, he appears to be... He's picking up his legs, he's waving his arms, he's dancing. Now, as for my room, I...
Herr Anderson?
Come in, Herr Lund. Now, stop a moment, look at this room,
Look at its dimensions properly.
Yes?
The walls, they are closer together. That side table, that is hard against my bed when earlier there was a gap. The room is smaller, as is the case whenever room 13 comes into existence.
The room is the room.
Come to the window. Look out at the wall over there. The shadows?
Your neighbour in number 11.
The dancing shadow cast by the occupant of room 13.
There is no dancing shadow. There is no room 13.
Tell me then, Herr Lund, where is that sound coming from?
I shall see about this.
Room 13.
No, no door.
Steady yourself.
No, no.
Is there a fire axe, something like
Are
that?
Are you mad? Look.
Yes, I see. There's no need for an axe. The door is opening.
Get away, Anderson!
Mr. Anderson, you've been looking for me.
The arm that reached for me through the door. Ragged, yellowish linen, bare skin, white and spongy, long grey hair sprouting from it.
Mr. Anderson.
I saw the face. I saw the eyes. Oh, those eyes. Those glittering eyes, Kate, full of such terrible knowledge. Answers to a lifetime of questions. The door was gone. There was a bare plaster wall. I had indeed found Magister Nicholas Franken. Found him in the one building made of solid stone, you may recall. The one building that survived the great fire of 1716, as I finally learned. There was no shortage of good hotels at Viborg, as you may also recall me saying. So what prompted me to choose this one? I write this letter to you in my heart only, Kate. Had I found Nicholas Franken? Or, and this is what disturbs me to my soul, had he found me?
From the Times newspaper. Tragic accident, talented young scholar on the steamship Helgoland, travelling from Espalier to Harwich, Dr. Nicholas Anderson, fell from the side in hazardous conditions, no trace of body, leaves his parents and his fiancée. A tragic accident? I wonder. Whatever your faith, even if you have none, pray for Dr. Anderson.
In our final ghost story by M.R. James, number 13, adapted by Chris Harold, Derek Jacobi was the voice of M.R. James, and you also heard Julian Rind-Tutt, Jan Dulukovic, Simon Treves, and Ben Onwukwe. The producer was Gemma Jenkins.